Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. Beets are a nutritional gold mine, full of antioxidants and nutrients, but they're a mess to prepare. So just mix Super Beets with 4 ounces of water and boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure. Get the Dr. Hoffman special offer at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we have a very, very interesting guest in store for you. He is a board-certified OBGYN, but he is also one of America's foremost integrative OBGYNs. He's actually been recognized as the first physician in the state of Connecticut to be board-certified in both holistic medicine and in the specialty of obstetrics and gynecology. He's got all kinds of credentials. He's one of the founders of the functional medicine movement. We'll talk a little bit about what functional medicine is, but it's very important because it's had great influence in shaping the way that integrative and complementary medicine doctors think about health problems. He's also author of a great book entitled The Whole Pregnancy Handbook. He's got a new enterprise, which is entitled Live.com, which is a startup technology company. We'll talk a little bit about that during today's podcast. And so our subject is women's health in general, and I can think of no better person to address that subject than today's guest. He's Dr. Joel Evans. And by the way, Dr. Evans has also served on the faculty of my alma mater, Albert Einstein College of Medicine. So we enjoy the old school tie together.
Yes, Dr. Hoffman, thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. So, Dr. Evans, well, tell us a little bit about how a functional medicine approach lends itself to looking at women's problems.
So I would say the simplest way to explain this is that if we look at functional medicine in general, it's really about how the body is functioning in main areas, such as the way we digest and take in nutrients, or the way we eliminate toxins, or the way we function in terms of our immune system or our mitochondria, which produce energy of the body. So we look at all of the different elements or categories of function, the endocrine system or hormonal systems, and when there are imbalances in the way that these systems function, that's different from a diagnosis of a disease. But it's an imbalance in the function of those areas that lead to dysfunction or problems that women have in both preconception care, which is the ability to get pregnant and conceive when they want to conceive, the ability to maintain a healthy pregnancy and have a healthy baby. It makes a difference in how they feel when they get their periods. Do their periods come on a regular monthly basis, or are they irregular? Are their periods incredibly painful? What about breast health? Are there issues with breast pain? Are there issues with increased risk for breast cancer? All of those women's health entities, especially those issues that affect women in midlife as they go through the hormonal changes of starting with perimenopause to menopause, all of those issues are affected by underlying imbalances in those areas of function. And so if the body isn't functioning well, that's why we do call it functional medicine, we see the manifestation of that dysfunction in all of those different areas of women's health.
Well, so to borrow a phrase from one of our previous guests on Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Jeffrey Bland, he wrote a book called The Disease Delusion, in which he critiques our modern medicine approach to health problems because we, you know, categorize things in terms of disease entities. You've got endometriosis, or you've got fibroids, or you've got PMS. And your approach, or the approach of functional medicine, which we all embrace, is an approach that looks at a variety of underlying factors and factors in the totality of influences.
Exactly. So if we're talking about endometriosis and fibroids, for example, the conventional GYN approach is to say that these are gynecologic problems that primarily have to do with hormones, when in reality, through the functional medicine lens, we agree that there are issues with hormones, specifically estrogen and progesterone, and the relationship between the two, primarily an estrogen-dominant situation. But what we see when we look at the functional medicine lens is it's more than that. It's about inflammation. It's about abnormal blood sugar. It's about the inability to eliminate toxin, or what we would call our detoxification system. So when we look at those three systems, that's the functional medicine approach to dealing with these common gynecologic problems. So patients come to me with fibroids, and I say, yep, they're here. And they say, well, my doctor wants to do a hysterectomy, or my doctor wants to put me on medication that's going to put me into menopause and give me crazy symptoms. What can you offer? And I say, well, we have actually a lot to offer. First, let's see what's happening with the amount of estrogen that your body is making. Because you know what? If you're making too much estrogen, your fibroids are just going to continue to grow. And so what is one of the main reasons that women produce estrogen, other than the common way, which is from the ovary, is fat tissue, especially that metabolically active fat that's in the abdomen. So if women have an excess amount of that abdominal fat, and the technical term is VAT, or visceral adipose tissue, what we call VAT. So if women have too much of that fatty tissue around the middle, they're going to be producing too much estrogen. So one of the things that you can do straight away is to work on achieving ideal body weight to get rid of that increased tissue, increase that fatty tissue around the abdomen.
We sometimes toss around the term estrogen dominance, you know, and it suggests some seedy, you know, dungeon club in, you know, some, you know, by the waterfront in Manhattan,
right,
where S&M acts are perpetrated on patrons. But actually, estrogen dominance is a very, very important theme in functional medicine when looking at women's problems. I think that's what you're already alluding to, this excess, this estrogen overload that seems to be a pathway to so many different problems.
Right, but we're not just calling it estrogen dominance, right? So people come in and they say, well, I'm estrogen dominant. But what we have to do is look at it a little closer. We have to peel away the onion another layer. So is the cause of the estrogen dominance because of excess production? And one example is that extra adipose tissue. Or is it because of decreased elimination? So maybe you're producing a normal amount, you're just not eliminating it properly. And that's under the hood of biotransformation or detoxification. So are the cytochrome P450 systems not working properly, the phase 1 and phase 2 detoxification systems? Because the same way that we eliminate toxic chemicals from our body, those same pathways are the pathways that are used to eliminate estrogen. So maybe estrogen isn't being eliminated properly. So we have to look at that piece of the puzzle. Then maybe the gut isn't working properly, because if we don't have the right bacteria in our intestinal tract, then we've got bacteria that are going to be producing an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase, and if they're producing that enzyme, that's actually going to lead to more estrogen in the body, not because we're producing it, but because we're not eliminating it in the gut properly, so it becomes reabsorbed. We have to look at constipation, because if we're not eliminating our stool on a daily regular basis, then that gives the estrogen that's in our stool, because that's how we eliminate our estrogen. The elimination of estrogen in our gut becomes impaired when we're constipated, because more of it can get reabsorbed. So we have to make sure we're eliminating regularly. We have to make sure we've got the right bacteria. We have to make sure we're detoxifying properly. We have to make sure we're not overproducing with that visceral adipose tissue. And that's where this phrase estrogen dominance requires a more detailed evaluation.
What are the various medical conditions that can result when you have this situation of estrogen dominance? What does it lead to?
So the big ones for estrogen dominance are fibroids, endometriosis, and breast cancer. And we know that this concept of how much estrogen the breast is exposed to over a lifetime is associated with increased risk of breast cancer. So the factors of starting your menstrual period early, ending your menstrual period late, so a later menopause, having no children, having children late, those are factors that increase breast cancer risk because the breast is bathed in estrogen for a longer period of time. That's without this concept of estrogen dominance. When you throw in estrogen dominance on top of those lifestyle risk factors, then we're talking about a double whammy in terms of concern about increased risk of breast cancer. So it's breast cancer, it's fibroids, it's endometriosis, it's abnormal bleeding. Then we're talking about premenstrual symptoms that can be a factor as well, breast pain, all those types of things, retaining water. There's lots of things that happen with that increased.
And some people have pointed to the fact that we live in an estrogenic environment, that there are what are called xenoestrogens. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that's a whole nother level here. So what we were just talking about, what you just asked me, is what are the clinical conditions associated with this estrogen dominance? Now we're talking about what are some other causes of estrogen dominance. And so other causes of estrogen dominance are things that we put into or bring into our body. And those are things that we bring into our body intentionally, meaning we take in foods, for example, that can have estrogenic effects, or we are exposed without knowing it to pesticides and other environmental chemicals that either themselves break down into estrogen or have an estrogen-like effect. That's the word you just talked about, xenoestrogens or foreign estrogens. So we have a tremendous problem now with our water, for example, where actually you can measure estrogens in drinking water. And that has nothing to do with pesticides per se. That has to do with the breakdown of the chemicals such as birth control pills and estrogen replacement therapy that ends up in the waste products of women and ends up in our water supply. So we're seeing all of these estrogens in our water. We're finding estrogen mimickers from pesticides. For example, atrazine is one of those chemicals. And
well, they treat apples with that, don't they?
Yeah, and that's the biggest source of or the biggest chemical that's used in pesticides for lawns.
Oh, okay.
And so you have to be very careful if you're a golfer, because that's used weekly on golf courses. And we're seeing, you know, the sign of the problems of estrogen in the water is with frogs, right? So male frogs are now showing ambiguous genitalia or even female genitalia because of the high amount of estrogen mimickers and estrogen chemicals in the water.
That can't be good.
No.
Now, of course, we're talking about balance here, and we have a guy, I'm sure you're well acquainted with him, Dr. John Lee, who's now deceased, but he was a great proponent of progesterone as kind of a panacea-like substance for PMS and for menopausal symptoms and for many women's conditions, because his feeling was, well, women have too much estrogen, not enough progesterone. Do you subscribe to that? Natural progesterone as a treatment for many problems?
Look, if you're a natural practitioner, how can you ever find fault with the word balance, right?
Exactly.
So yes, it is all about a balance between estrogen and progesterone. What I would say, though, is that I don't believe in chasing excess estrogen by giving more progesterone in order to achieve a balance. Mm-hmm. So my biggest observation is that people often treat issues that women have with being estrogen dominant by just simply giving progesterone. And this is where I think the functional approach or the functional lens explains that that's not the right approach, because that estrogen dominance is either too much being produced or not enough being eliminated. You have to correct that. Now, is it appropriate to give some progesterone to balance the estrogen while that process is happening? Absolutely. And I always prefer a bioidentical progesterone, never a synthetic progestin. The difference between the synthetic and the bioidentical is tremendous in terms of breast health and risk for breast cancer. When we look at postmenopausal hormone replacement, we see that giving progestin is associated with the increased risk of breast cancer.
That's like in some of these products like Prempro, for example, the most popular menopausal replacement product. It's a phony progesterone. It's not bioidentical.
Exactly. And so I am a big believer in bioidentical progesterone. Bioidentical progesterone is wonderful as a intervention for perimenopausal changes, because the changes, the menopausal transition, starts with a decrease in progesterone. So here is a perfect case where we're looking at estrogen dominance, and it's actually not because of too much estrogen. It's not because of too little estrogen elimination. It's because of not enough progesterone. So that's the prototypical case. That's the textbook case of where giving bioidentical progesterone helps with that estrogen-progesterone balance. And so we do that in the second half of the cycle. Increase the progesterone level, women feel terrific. They're able to sleep better. Anxiety symptoms go away because there's a natural GABA agonist activity of natural progesterone, and we're creating balance through progesterone.
I find that a handy-dandy question is if a woman has had children, to ask her how she felt during pregnancy. Some women just feel awful, they didn't like it, but many women report, oh, I felt so serene, I felt so relaxed, and that's really a key, because progesterone is progestational, and it really helps to support pregnancy. And if you felt great during pregnancy and you're 45 or 48 or 51 and you're not feeling good, maybe progesterone can help restore that feeling of equanimity through the brain.
Exactly. And so, speaking to your point, progesterone is the dominant hormone of pregnancy. And then when we look backwards and we say, well, why is it that women that have more pregnancies are protected from breast cancer? It's because they've had more progesterone in their system over their life. So progesterone is very helpful in that case.
Well, while it is a hormone and some women are very afraid of anything that smacks of hormones, it may actually have a protective rather than a promotional effect on cancer.
It certainly does, and that's why education is so important.
Indeed. We're talking about menopause a little bit. Do you subscribe to the notion that has been popularized by folks like Suzanne Summers, who's a great advocate for natural medicine, that menopause is sort of like a hormone deficiency, and we ought to restore ourselves to youthful levels of hormones whenever possible?
Yeah, what I would say is I'm a bit of a contrarian to that philosophy. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that's the way to go. I think that there are different ways to look at menopause. My personal philosophy is that, we as human beings are designed to have hormones only for so long. There's supposed to be an age-related decline in hormone, and that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So a woman's breast was pre-programmed to have approximately 51 or 52 years. Now, of course, I'm not going to say 52 years of estrogen because there, you know, menstruation didn't start, puberty didn't start. But let's say 40 years of estrogen. The breast was expecting that. To do more than that is you are taking a major shift from natural biology. And to me, there's some risk there. That doesn't mean that I'm cruel. That doesn't mean that I'm a misogynist and that I don't want to make my female patients feel better. It just means that hormones become a last resort and not a first choice.
And so what's in your arsenal for women suffering from, well, you know, we can go through them, some of the symptoms of menopause, sleep problems, mood changes, vaginal dryness, loss of interest in sex, poor memory, so, you name it.
So once again, I just hate to keep beating this same drum, is use the functional medicine lens. So if we can correct imbalances in function in all the other areas of the body, the need for hormone, especially estrogen, reduces itself dramatically.
So a hot flash, for example, might be hypoglycemia. It might be corrected
or
with
stress.
A non-hormone. Yeah, okay.
You know, we know about the relationship between stress and hot flashes. We know if there's an issue with thyroid, if there's an issue with the adrenals. So if there's an issue with inflammation, if you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, that can give you hot flashes. So we have to work at really doing what I would call a tune-up, right? So a midlife woman comes to me, she's going to get a tune-up so I can get her physiology humming. And that means not just the physical, but also the emotional and the spiritual. So when we've addressed all those things, in other words, if someone comes for a natural regimen for hot flashes, let's say, and they're a typical midlife woman who is stressed because she's got sick parents, she's got kids that are getting ready for college, she's got marital issues, maybe the economy is adding some financial issues, there's a lot going on. And so for me, just to say only, you know, work on your stress, I don't do that. But what I do say is that there are herbs that work, and I can give you a bunch of herbs. I said, and there are hormones that work, and we can maybe do a combination, and I go through the long list of treatments. But it's, you have to work on everything. So me just giving you estrogen is not going to do it. I mean, it can do it all, but I'll have to give so much estrogen because of all the stress. So until she's able to find some way to deal with what's going on in her life, we're going to be over medicating in terms of the interventions of either herbs or hormones. So it's all related intimately.
Well, this is a good place to pause and also an opportunity to offer a teaser to part two of our discussion, because you mentioned the possibility of herbal or natural treatment of menopausal symptoms. We'll reserve that for part two. So we ask our listeners to fast forward to part two of our discussion with today's guest, who is Joel Evans, who the founder director of the Center for Women's Health up there in Connecticut, and also author of The Whole Pregnancy Handbook. We'll also talk about a new enterprise of his, which is Liv.com, L-I-I-V.com, which is a fascinating way of merging technology with messaging natural health. And we'll resume our discussion in part two in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.